Amen. Let's just deal with it right from the very beginning. You're not in trouble. That's not why I'm here two times in a row. Let's just deal with that. How are you doing with Christmas? Oh, that's great. Me too. I want to talk to you about some things. I often struggle during this time of year. When I say struggle, I just mean be annoyed. And I'm annoyed for a few reasons, and my kids call me the Scrinch. It's like this combination word of two, you know, like Scrooge and Grinch. And it happens every year because I often will just lose purpose of the holiday season. Maybe you do it too. Like, okay, I'll look over at my neighbor's decorations, and it's like, I don't know, it's National Lampoon's Vacation or something over there. Like, how do I compete with this? I can't compete with this. This is crazy. They have projections and blow-ups in front of me. I'm like, what in the world is happening? And then, of course, it's gift time. And I don't know if you've ever tried to get a gift for a high schooler. Okay. And then, the bane of my existence every Christmas season is the tree. Anybody with me? All the guys are like, shut up, Kenny. Do not. Yeah, the tree. It always bothers me. Like every year there's like a branch that's broken or something from the way we stored it the year before. And again, okay, so we're going to get a new tree. What is this going to be? Well, let's get a nice big tree because trees go inside a house. That makes sense. And I just get so frustrated during this time of year. And I recognize that often that's centered on the fact that I can lose purpose in the midst of all of that. Can you relate? Can you relate? We'll lose purpose. There's some interesting stuff that I'd like to share with you. Some studies that were done just before COVID happened. JAMA Network Open did a study. And one of the things that they recognized is that people who had a strong sense of purpose did not struggle as much with mental health issues, and that was profoundly shown to be true during COVID. You remember COVID, right? Okay, yeah. Of course, physical health was another issue, a study that came out just the year before that in 2018 showed that people with a sense of purpose were better able to show high morality and strength in their places of work. They found Gallup did a study that showed that 85% of employees worldwide were not engaged or actively disengaged in their work, leading to burnout and, can you imagine, dissatisfaction. Yep. Barna survey came out in 2021 and indicated, sorry, millennials and Gen Z, that 60% of millennials and Gen Z struggle to define their purpose in life, leading to increased anxiety. Of course, the study that stands out to me is that people who have a high sense of hopelessness and lack of purpose struggle 33% higher with suicide and suicidal ideology. Purpose is a big deal. And knowing why we do something, that matters. But having purpose to do it, that matters even more. I believe we all have this God-shaped hole as it relates to purpose, and we try to feed it a lot of things. Right? Like, maybe if I just made a little more money, maybe that hole will close up. Maybe if I just had the right relationship, that hole would close up. Maybe if I had the right job, that hole would close up. But we find that actually isn't the case. It always leaves us empty. And the hole is just as big as when we started. Purpose matters. And I want to talk about purpose today. In fact, I want to invite you into purpose. And specifically, I'm going to ask you to grab a hold of God's purpose for you. And I'll bet that this morning when you got up, you didn't consider what that purpose might be. I'll bet you didn't go, priesthood, that's me. If I was just part of the priesthood, yes, my purpose would be fulfilled. You probably didn't think that, and rightfully so. I get that. but we are going to talk about the priesthood today. In fact, we're going to see how the priesthood leads us to purpose. In fact, we're going to see that the priesthood is a part of our purpose, the way that God created us and wanted us to operate. We're going to see how Jesus fulfills that completely and invites us into joining him in that priesthood. And we're going to see how we are able to live with purpose as we embrace the priesthood. When we began to flesh out this series, Foretold, we recognized that there are some things in the Old Testament that we are so far removed from, we miss the point. But they're so specific and so beautiful and so helpful in understanding who the Messiah is that we couldn't pass it. And so one of those is the priesthood, and that Jesus fulfills the priesthood perfectly. We have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. We don't want to forget that, because he is actually going to be the one that makes all of this purpose possible for us. So if you have a hole in your heart that you're trying to fill with other stuff, watch and see what God will do through the midst of all of this. You're going to need your Bibles today. We're going to be in a few different places today. So if you brought your Bibles, get ready. If you didn't bring your Bibles, we love you. That's okay. We have some in the back, and we would love for you to have one. If you don't have one, you can just raise your hand, and one of our team members will bring you some scripture. If you don't have scripture in your home, let this be a gift to you. Merry Christmas. We'd love to give it to you because we believe that God's word is actually God's word, and that within God's word, we see the way of life eternal. And empowered by the Holy Spirit, being born again, can give life. Beautiful and wonderful life. Otherwise, feel free to follow along in your device. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we need you. And we thank you. We recognize that in these days, we often lose purpose. We lose focus. And we get our attention drawn to things that don't matter. Frustrations that we live with for a season. Agitation. And we miss purpose. Lord, would you forgive us for that? Would you forgive us of that? Would you help us to find in you what you've called us to be from the very beginning? Lord, we recognize that we need you and that we can't live without you. I would pray a prayer of faith right now, Lord, just asking that you would help each of us die to ourselves and be alive in you. That we would find purpose in perhaps a familiar way and in a fresh way today. And that in all things we would glorify and honor you. So be exalted, O Lord. It's in Jesus Christ's precious and holy, holy, holy name we pray. Amen. When we talk about the priesthood, oftentimes people immediately think of the nation of Israel and the commandment of God to the nation of Israel to be a witness to the nations, a light in the darkness, and that the priesthood is unique and specific for them. That is wrong. Actually, the priesthood starts in Genesis. And I want to talk that through a little bit. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we see that there are some things explicit, and then later in chapter 3, implicit. So the first two that are explicit in Genesis 2:15 are this, that Adam is to work and to keep. So he is to work what he has, and he is to keep that which he has. He's supposed to be a steward of that which God has given him. And in relationship with God, that's what he is to do. He's to work the ground, the creation, on behalf of God. He is working the creation. And also, he is making sure that the creation is connected to God. That comes not just with working and keeping, but also with the implicit guarding, to guard. Where do we see that? Well, really, it becomes more evident after the fall. After the fall, there is this thing that occurs. And what occurs at the end of chapter 3 is this, that cherubim show up and they remove humanity from the garden. And they blocked the way back in. And I want to state to you that that was the most gracious thing God could have done to humanity at that moment. And you might think, how? How being removed from God's presence, would that be the case? Well, the issue was there's a tree of life. And in the fallen state, had humanity went to the tree of life and eaten of that, then eternally separated, there is no hope for a return. God removes humanity from his presence, not giving access to the tree of life at that time. That separation is important, and that guarding is important, because that which is holy, it deserves being guarded. And God is loving, and God is gracious, and he is kind, and he is merciful, and also he is holy. And he doesn't just let his standard down. Oh, okay, well, if you're just going to not follow me, yeah, participate. No, there is a standard there and an expectation that goes along with that standard. And so we see right from the very beginning, working, keeping, guarding, a part of the priestly duties. By the way, these three things are also identified in the priestly duties given to the children of Israel through the Torah and Exodus and Leviticus in particular. These three things are clearly a part of the purpose and job description given to the children, the nation of Israel and the priests specifically. So we see it in the garden. And then there is a fall. And then we are going to get a better understanding of the function of the priesthood. Let's talk about that function. So, again, let's look at this after the fall now. What occurs? Well, the first thing is there is a representation. Within the representation, the priest bore the people's burdens before God. So there is this representation of the people to God and a representation of God to the people. It's part of the reason that they dressed funny. It wasn't just because, well, that's in fashion or that's a new thing. No, it is an identifier that God is holy and that this holy God wants to keep his people in front of him. It's his desire that they would dwell back in that garden relationship again, that humankind could go back to their purpose where they are able to work and to keep and steward that which God has given them, and they could guard those holy and good things that God has given. It's his desire. And so there are some functions of the priesthood. Representation is at the top of the list. But the second thing is sacrifice. Sacrifice has to be made. We talked about the tabernacle last week together, and within that tabernacle paradigm, we recognized there were daily sacrifices, there were weekly sacrifices, there were monthly sacrifices, there were annual sacrifices, there were special sacrifices, there were sacrifices for the people, there were sacrifices for the priesthood. There's a lot of sacrificing going on. It was a big deal. Why? Because God's holy. And it's a reminder of how far humanity had gone away from God. Like that brokenness in the garden infected all of us. And as a reminder of that, that sacrifice occurs. And this priesthood had to be 100% committed to God and his plan. And we see that in the scriptures in a variety of ways. They represent God to the people and the people to God. They offer sacrifices being made right before a holy God. And there is intercession on behalf of the people. Bringing the sins to God and asking God for mercy and protection, asking God to do a work within the nation and within the nations around them. There is a work in the function of the priesthood. And this affects us today too, as we'll get to in just a few moments. It's important for us to recognize, though, that this priesthood is incomplete. It is incomplete. It's incomplete for a couple of reasons. I'd like to show you those. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll just focus on verses 3 and 4, but you can look at the further, the supplemental scriptures around it, which may be helpful later. But let's hone in to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 as we consider a temporary or an incomplete priesthood. There is temporary atonement in the system that was established with the nation of Israel. Verse 3. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Like, it just covered up sin. And every year, you're going to be reminded of that. And every year, you're going to have to go through this again. Because what happened at the fall of humanity took the purpose of humanity away. And we have been separated from God in the midst of that. But God is doing something and wants to do something that will atone and bring his people back to him. And if the children of Israel would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand, that when the Messiah comes, he'll function in these kind of ways. Also, we see that there is a flawed mediator. If you go ahead and go to Hebrews 7:23. Hebrews 7:23. Says this, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. So constantly there is this these new priests that are coming, and also on top of that, these priests, they're sinning. They're imperfect. And God knows that, and God uses that, and part of the reason he's using it is he wants you to know when the Messiah comes, he's going to function in these sorts of ways, and he is going to bring restoration to people in a way that they can fulfill what he has called them to do in purpose, that they would work, that they would keep, that they would guard, that they would represent, that they would sacrifice, that they would be intercessors. And so before we see how Jesus perfectly fulfills this priesthood, I want to identify something about a few things about Jesus. First of all, in the fact that he perfectly fulfills this, there are some specific things that you should note or that should be noted. Here's one of them. It's found in John 4:34. Jesus makes a statement. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Okay, so in the garden, they were supposed to work. The priesthood is supposed to work. And Jesus says, actually, that's his job to fulfill this work. In what is sometimes called the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John 17:12, he says this. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I guarded them. And not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So Jesus identifies that a part of his role is keeping and guarding as well. So Jesus identifies himself as a practicer of this priesthood. He is showing himself to be a priest, and we would say the high priest. Let's look at some things about Jesus that remind us of his high priestly duty and the fact that he perfectly fulfills this. Just as the priests of Israel were to be appointed by God through the line of Aaron as a Levite, so too Jesus is appointed by God. Not just that, but he's also a sinless mediator. I love this passage. We need to go there. Go ahead and go to Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who, in every respect, has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He is a sinless mediator. What does that mean? Well, as I said earlier, one of the problems with the priests presenting these sacrifices is that they had sin. And they had to go and be cleansed of that sin. They had special sacrifices that they had to work through. Jesus didn't. Once and for all. And it's a final sacrifice. If you would just go ahead and turn over to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Do you see that? Jesus' sacrifice is final. Don't have to keep doing it. It's taken care of. Jesus does that. Jesus' work is complete and provides access to God. Jesus' work is complete and provides access to God. So, again, let's recap. Genesis, we're priests. That is our job. That is our purpose. We get the opportunity to work the ground. We are stewards of that which God has given us. Not just that, but we keep it. We maintain it and care for it. Not just that, but also we guard it and protect it. It's a part of the priesthood right from the very beginning in relationship to God. Right? Like Adam saw God face to face, walked with him. And that is the goal for every person. And since the fall, every one of us have tried to fill that hole with something different. And we've lost our purpose. And I want to suggest that if today you've been struggling with perhaps some depression, perhaps you've been just kind of struggling with anxiety and what the Lord might have for you, that perhaps a part of this could be that God is inviting you into the priesthood of believers and wants you to follow him. Jesus work is complete and provides access to God. It's once and for all, as we just stated in 9:12. And also, I'm just going to tell you that we overlook this so easily, and we shouldn't. And that is the tearing of the veil that really proves this. So remember what happened in Genesis, the end of chapter 3? There's a cherubim, and what did he do? Separated humanity from God, right? Like humanity couldn't come back into that place. That is visualized in the temple with a big curtain separating the high priest from the Shekinah glory of God. I'm sorry, I said temple, I meant in the tabernacle. Separating the high priest from the Shekinah glory of God, a reminder that this separation is a big deal. They can't just flippantly enter into it. And the reason they're separated is because of their own sin. And if they have walked through this path correctly, if they've done everything that they were supposed to do, then they could go past this curtain, the high priest, and present a sacrifice on the mercy seat, being in the presence of God, the very presence of God. Okay, that's a big deal. And what do we see? In Matthew chapter 5. I got ahead of myself there. How about 27 verse 51? Matthew 27 verse 51. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. And we look at that and we go, that's interesting. And we maybe just gloss over it, and we shouldn't do that. Because the author wants us to know something, and empowered by the Holy Spirit definitely wants us to know something. And what is that? This big, thick curtain that is high and exalted, it's torn from the top to the bottom. It's not an act of people who are tearing from the bottom. It's an act of God from the top to the bottom. Jesus' sacrifice now is opening the curtain that we could go back to where we were supposed to begin with. Jesus did the work and has allowed us to go back into the priesthood. Again, this is his work, not ours. But as a walk of faith, as an act of faith, rather, we enter into salvation through Christ. It's not our works. I want us to understand what we're saying here, because this is very important. Oftentimes, we look at salvation as something that is added to our lives. Like, oh yeah, now I'm saved and I do everything that I've always done. I just have salvation with me now. And I want to suggest to us that a part of the reason that we don't always live in that place of purpose is because that's not the way it's supposed to be. We see a different picture in the scripture, and that's this. We are dead, and we raise in him. The way that Galatians 2:20 says it is this: I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. That means that we enter into this priesthood through the work of Christ. It is as if Christ is living it out through us and in us. That can't be overlooked. And now the priesthood of believers has been extended to us. Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Oftentimes at the end of the service, I'll give a benediction. And within that benediction, I'll say, you are a holy and a royal priesthood. A holy people, a royal priesthood. That's where we get this. It's from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you see that? Do you see what is happening here? Believers are called to represent God to the world. It's part of the priesthood. We're getting back to the garden. We're in relationship with God because of the work of Christ. And because of the work of Christ and this relationship with God, we have the opportunity to represent God to a fallen world. Which is what the priesthood does. Let's look at some practical implications. And by the way, as you're going there, and I would encourage you to go to James 5:16 to get ahead of us a little bit. As you're going there, I want to state some things. Okay, know that I love you, and I say this from a place of prayer, okay? You're like, we'll see. Okay, fair enough. Oftentimes, people will come to me and they'll go, Kenny, I just don't have access to God like you do. Would you pray for me? Though I don't mind praying for anybody. That sentiment is wrong. The sentiment, that statement is wrong. And if we're not careful, it could be a curse that can infect us. Don't let that happen. So if you say that to me and I shake you, I want you to know why. That's why. I won't do that. But the reality is this. That whether you're a plumber or a pastor, whether you are an educator or a missionary, whether you are a truck driver, or like, it doesn't matter what you have done, you are a priest. And in that place, you work what God has given you to work and the people he's given you to work with. Not just that, but you keep. What do you keep? You keep the people that God has given you that you can raise them up as disciples in the Lord. What else do? You guard. You guard the word of God and you guard your people. You do that through a variety of things. One of those things is the representation of God to them. Not you, God to them. You're dead. He's alive in you. And so you represent that to them. You live it out sacrificially like priests are supposed to do. And not just that, but you're also an intercessor, recognizing the needs and the hurts and the wants from somebody and offering that to God for his good glory. And so we are participants in a variety of ways. In worship, again, that goes back to that relationship, but in intercession, we pray for others. I ask you to go to James chapter 5, verse 16, so I'm going to jump into that passage real quick. The immediate context of this passage is this, that when someone is sick or weak, they go to the elders for prayer. This is what it says. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. As a pastor, I'm an elder at this church, and it is one of my great delights to anoint people with oil and pray for them. It is one of the priestly duties that I uniquely get to share with others in and share with the congregation and represent in, and it's beautiful. And I'll tell you that over the last couple of months, we've had several people who God has healed, and we've had several people that God has said, not yet. But anointing with oil has been a work of faith on our parts and on the parts of the people, and it's been a beautiful example of the priesthood of believers. And it's an act of faith. I mean, to one, just to say, I'm weak and I need prayer. Would you pray for me? What an act of faith. It's an act of faith to say, you know what? The only thing I can offer you is Jesus. And we recognize that in his word, we're commanded to anoint you with oil. So we're going to anoint you. We're going to anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to pray for you. And we're going to see how God restores and what God does. What a beautiful thing that we get to participate in as followers of Christ. And then we're on mission together, representing God's love in the world. Again, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. How cool is it that the God of the universe who spoke and worlds were created, who just said, let there be light, and there was light, nothing, and here it is. What an amazing being that he is, that he would allow us to join him in Christ in his mission. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Listen to this. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We see this both in word and in deed, that we get this priestly opportunity in Christ to love others. So no matter what we do, whether it's in the role as a neighbor or as a family member, a parent or a child, whether it's in the role at work, we get the opportunity to act in the priesthood as a believer in Christ. And as we do, God brings us to the purpose he called us to walk with him, to work, to keep, to guard, to be a representation of God to the world and the world to God in intercession, and to sacrificially live it out. When we do that, when we walk in that purpose in Christ, our hearts are filled. And I don't know where you are today. If you have never received Christ as your Savior, then you're going, I'm on the outside looking in, and I have been lacking purpose my whole life. It may look something like this, where you just say to the Lord as an act of faith, Lord, I've tried to save myself, and I just renounce the work of the devil and the work of my flesh and the work of my life thus far, and Lord, I just would receive you as my Lord and Savior. I'm a sinner, and I need you. Would you forgive me and help me to live a life dedicated to you? Amen. It's not the prayer that saves us. It's the act of faith. For others of us, maybe we started, I am dead to self, and I am alive to Christ, mostly, but not right now. And we've lost our way in some ways. Then, too, we can repent. And that just looks like a confession. Lord, I've trusted myself. I've trusted my work. I've trusted relationships. I've trusted these things. And I need to die to that. Forgive me. And I want to follow you in these places. Live through me. In Jesus' name, amen. And maybe God will do something. And if we would have eyes to see it, maybe God would open them to his own work in our lives. Let me share. Earlier, I talked about the scrinch and how I lose purpose, especially over the holidays. It's so easy for me, and I can justify it all day long, and it's easy to do. But what if I had eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand? What if I would, with purpose, recognize that God wants me to be a part of this priesthood, living in Christ, living it out in Christ? What might happen when I look at my neighbor's decorations and I go, oh man, I can never have decorations like that. Maybe I'm reminded that, yeah, but with a little bit of work, I can glorify and honor God in what I do. That's a good reminder. What about with these gifts? What about with these gifts? Well, why do we give gifts? Well, we give gifts in part because Jesus received gifts. That's a good reason. But even more that Jesus is our gift. And so these gifts act as kind of a symbol. Hey, these are good gifts, and these might be some things you need, but Jesus is the great gift, and he is our real need. And so we keep those that we love, and we give them gifts and try to point them to Christ. If we have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand, and a desire to walk in Christ in this priesthood of believers. And what about those miserable trees that we bring inside? What about them? So we're going to bring something, we're going to bring a tree into a place where it doesn't belong. In other words, in a place that doesn't have life that way. Perhaps the tree represents the tree of life. And perhaps we bring it into a place where it's generally not at, as a reminder that, you know what, God can bring life where there is no life. Maybe that tree can remind us of this gift of Christ and who he is. If we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand, if we would desire to follow the Lord in obedience to Christ, what he might do as a priesthood of believers. I'd like to walk through some key takeaways and questions with you as we begin to transition our hearts towards communion. I'd like to look at these, first of all, these key takeaways, and then I'd like to frame them within a question that we might wrestle with over the next few minutes. The first one, the priesthood reveals God's desire for relationship. The reason they're in the garden is to be in relationship with him, and he gives them things to do to help fulfill their purpose in him, in relationship to him. How can we intentionally draw closer to God this week, knowing that he desires a personal relationship with us? Is there something with you? Are you struggling with decorations or gifts or trees? Are there some ways that maybe God wants to meet you in that place relationally? Maybe. Two, Jesus fulfills the priesthood perfectly. So in what ways does understanding Jesus as our perfect mediator give us confidence to approach God in prayer and worship? It's God, Jesus, who has given us access to him. And because Jesus has given us access, we know that it's not based on our work or our merit. It's on the work of Christ. And so because of that, my prayers are just as effective as your prayers. And your prayers are just as effective as my prayers when they're all in Christ. We can go with boldness. How might that look? Three, believers are now empowered to live as priests. How can we actively reflect our role as a priest by worshiping, interceding, or serving in our community this week? What might God want to do in our lives? As you're chewing on those, I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we prepare for communion. Some things that I would like to identify is this. First of all, we have open communion. And that means you don't have to be a member of Friendship Church, but it does mean that you need to be a follower of Christ. And so as a follower of Christ, if someone who has received Christ as their Lord and Savior in faith, dead to self, alive in him, then communion is for you. Additionally, we're called to examine our hearts. Is there any unconfessed sin? If so, we should confess that. Repent and turn to him. Thirdly, we have stations throughout this room. And we would encourage you after a time of reflection to go to those stations and get both the bread and the cup and return to your seat. And then at the end of the next time of worship, Pastor Jason will lead us in communion together. But I would remind us that this just is a perfect picture of what Christ is calling us to. And that if you would think of the table that Jesus invited his disciples to, at that table, they were a bunch of broken people who needed the grace of God, just like you do and just like I do. And in that place, they were reminded that there was a body that was broken for them to restore them back to that garden relationship. There was blood that was spilled to restore them back to that garden relationship. It's a new covenant. What animal blood only would cover, Jesus' blood takes away. And we celebrate that when we come together during communion. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We ask that you would be exalted and lifted up. And Lord, as we together learn to work for you, learn to keep or steward that which you've given us, as we learn to guard and care for those people, those ministries, those situations, Lord, let us glorify you, that we would represent you to a lost world, that we would sacrificially live out this life in a way that would bring you glory as we become intercessors for one another, lifting our brothers and sisters in Christ up, lifting our neighbors up, lifting a lost world up, that they might know the only hope that will give them purpose, true purpose in life. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.